We're in what I would call, we're on a journey as a church. So this is much more than a sermon series, but I would say we're on a journey looking at who the Holy Spirit is. And I don't usually like to use a sermon series to kind of bring direction, but I really believe this is a course correction for us as a church. And if you haven't been here the last couple weeks, I'd invite you to listen to the last 2 weeks. Because the reason I don't like to use a sermon series for that, it feels like too much weight to put on a sermon series. But I feel like God is in the process of leading us. And we've been looking at what Jesus said about the Holy Spirit. He said in John 15, he said that, I will send you the advocate, the Spirit of truth, and he will come to you from the Father and will testify all about me. And so the role of the Holy Spirit, primary role of the Holy Spirit, is to reveal Jesus. The Holy Spirit reveals Jesus. Spirit of God comes to live inside of us. It's important to know this. The Holy Spirit, yes, teaches us and guides us into all truth and convicts us of sin, but at the very foundation, the Holy Spirit reveals Jesus. That's according to what Jesus said. And then Jesus said, you must also testify about me. And so not only does the Holy Spirit reveal Jesus, the Holy Spirit fills people to reveal Jesus. So he invites us into, when you place your faith in Jesus, the Holy Spirit, the presence of the Spirit of the living God is just so amazing to me when I think about it. It comes to live inside, fill us so that we can be part of revealing Jesus. I was thinking about this week. You know, I grew up in a Christian home. I remember probably around age 6, I prayed the prayer to invite Jesus to come into my heart and repent of my sins, you know, ask forgiveness. And I'm like, at a 6-year-old, I don't really know what my sins were at that point. But I remember hearing just this message that if you don't want to go to hell and you want to go to heaven, that you have to place your faith in Jesus. And I'm like, that sounds good to me. My 6-year-old brain, that made sense. So I was fine praying that prayer. And I understood Jesus as my savior. And as a teenager and a young adult, I remember there were times, moments where I would think about, am I a Christian because I grew up in a Christian home? Is that why I'm a Christian? If I would have grown up, and I'm so grateful for my parents and my family. I mean, they lived out their faith in Jesus in our home. I'm so grateful for that. Obviously, that influenced me. But is that the reason why I'm a Christian? I would think about that as a teenager and a young adult and wonder if I lived in a different home or in a different family, would I not have been a Christian? You know, because some families, they teach about, you know, Santa Claus is real, or they say the tooth fairy is. And so is this just like one of those theories? And it wasn't until I opened up this book and began to understand that as much influence as my parents and our Christian home had on me, it was the Holy Spirit who revealed Jesus to me. Amen. And I just feel so compelled to remind you, parents, especially, you think about your children, it can be very easy to just carry the weight of, if I just make sure that I do family devotions or just pray or just, you know, have the answers for when my kids ask questions about God and make sure they're in church, and all of those things are really important. But if you want your children to know Jesus, I want to encourage you, pray that the Holy Spirit reveals Jesus to them. So it's going to relieve some of that pressure you may be putting on yourself. And if you have children that have walked away from the Lord, you know, and I think about that often. I was in a Christian home. I know many people who grew up in a Christian home and they walked away from it. And I was like, I don't understand that. But if you have had children, or maybe you have teenagers or young adults or older adults that they're just not living for the Lord, here's my encouragement to you. No matter how much you try and talk them into it or try to convince them to come back, it's not going to work. I would encourage you to pray in the name of Jesus that the power of the Holy Spirit would reveal Jesus to them, and rest in that. And then remember that you are filled with the Holy Spirit, that you can actually be part of revealing Jesus to them. Actually, I want to just jump to 2 Corinthians. I had this at the end of the message. I want to jump to it right now. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3. And I've been using this to guide sermons on a Sunday morning. More recently, I haven't always, but more recently. I want you to see what Paul writes here. He says, "We are human, but we don't wage war as humans do. We use God's mighty weapons, not worldly weapons, to knock down the strongholds of human reasoning and to destroy false arguments." There are strongholds of human reasoning that get built up in all of us because of the world that we live in. And there are ideas about sexuality and gender and all of these different things that are becoming strongholds of human reasoning, and they're coming against children and teenagers and young adults right now. And so for parents, it can be sometimes it's like, well, how am I going to convince them not to believe in these all these ideas? And Paul recognizes this. He says they are strongholds of human reasoning, and we're not gonna be able to use our human reasoning to come against someone else's human reasoning. The only way we're gonna do that, we're gonna wage war using God's mighty weapons. His word and his spirit working. And then verse 5 says, "We destroy every proud obstacle that keeps people from knowing God. We capture their rebellious thoughts and teach them to obey Christ." And so if you have some people in your lives that you care about, and they've kind of walked away, or maybe they started listening to things that really aren't God's word, and they start being like, "Oh, that sounds true to me. I guess I'm going to believe that now, even though I was taught something different as a kid," I want to invite you into praying for them. And if you have children and teenagers, they are on the straight and narrow, and you just feel this kind of spiritual battle around their souls, I want to pray for them as well. And I want us to join together and pray. I just feel compelled to do that right now. And the way that we're going to pray is we're going to pray that the whole power of the Holy Spirit reveals Jesus to them, that nothing can shake them. No ideology, no other theories that humans come up with in the future is gonna shake their belief, because the Spirit of God has opened their eyes. So I wanna pray for that. So would you join me in praying? Just take a moment. And if it's your children or your teenagers or maybe someone else's or maybe someone close to you, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. And we pray that the power of the Holy Spirit would reveal Jesus to those who are so near and dear to our hearts. God, for those children, all the young kids that are represented in this room, and I've spoken to so many parents, and I know that they have this deep desire for their kids to have a solid foundation. So God, we pray it's only by the power of the Holy Spirit that Jesus will be revealed to them at a young age. And God, I pray for teenagers and young adults who are hearing all of these different ideas and strongholds of human reasoning. God, I pray the power of the Holy Spirit, this mighty weapon that you've given us and your word, would reveal Jesus to them so that nothing would shake them. God, for all people that we are believing for to come to know you, God, I just pray that we would take the pressure off of ourselves and just try to be that person that just convinces, or maybe is able to debate a little bit better, or have a stronger argument for a false argument. And what you're saying to us is that's just gonna create more arguments. So we pray that the power of the Holy Spirit would reveal Jesus to them. And then God, as we see your word, the Spirit fills us so that we can reveal Jesus. I pray that you would show us how we can be a testimony or witness, how we can testify about how Jesus changed our lives. And just be ready for that. And so I just pray all of that in Jesus' name. Amen. Man, I just felt really strong to do that. So the Holy Spirit reveals Jesus. The Holy Spirit fills people to reveal Jesus. And number three, what we're gonna land on today as we take another step in our journey, the Holy Spirit gives gifts to each believer to reveal Jesus to others. So if you have placed your faith in Jesus and you've surrendered your life to him, the Holy Spirit comes to live inside of you. And this power of the Holy Spirit can fill you and give you these gifts. And so we're gonna look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We're gonna spend some time in there and just look at how the Apostle Paul teaches on this. So let's let God's word speak to us, starting with verse 1. Now, dear brothers and sisters, regarding your question about the special abilities the Spirit gives us, I don't want you to misunderstand this. In other words, I don't want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were still pagans, you were led astray and swept along in worshiping speechless idols. So I want you to know that no one speaking by the Spirit of God will curse Jesus. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit is the source of them all. There are different kinds of service, but we serve the same Lord. God works in different ways, but it is the same God who does the work in all of us. A spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other. To one person, the Spirit gives the ability to give wise advice. To another, the same Spirit gives a message of special knowledge. The same Spirit gives great faith to another. And to someone else, the one Spirit gives the gift of healing. He gives one person the power to perform miracles and another the ability to prophesy. He gives someone else the ability to discern whether a message is from the Spirit of God or from another spirit. Still another person is given the ability to speak in unknown languages or to speak in tongues, while another is given the ability to interpret what is being said. It is the one and only Spirit who distributes all these gifts. He alone decides which gift each person should have. Right in the beginning of that chapter, there is what I would call a warning or an instruction from Paul when it comes to these spiritual gifts. He's basically telling us, be sure you are seeking the Lord who gives the gifts, not just seeking the gift. Amen. So he says, anyone who says Jesus is Lord, or no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Now, that's not just a nice little clever phrase, just saying Jesus is Lord. Paul is teaching us, no, you need to make Jesus your Lord. See, for so many years in my life, I just understood Christianity and I understood salvation as being Jesus is my Savior. But it has taken me years of understanding and just digging into this word of God to understand that no, salvation is not just about this ticket to eternal life and avoiding hell. Salvation and this surrendering to Jesus is about choosing him to be Lord. Lord of my life. And so I've on a regular basis, I need to ask myself these kind of questions. And I would encourage you to ask yourself these questions. Is Jesus Lord of every area of your life? Is Jesus Lord of your schedule? Is he Lord of your time? Is he Lord of your money? Is he Lord of your words? Is he Lord of your home? Is he Lord of your marriage? Is he Lord of your relationships? Is he Lord of your work? Is he Lord of your phone? Amen. Actually, Don, can you give me my phone there for a sec? I didn't know if I was gonna do this. Is Jesus Lord of this thing right here? I know there's a lot of good on this, but we live in interesting times right now. And God, let me just say, God knew that you were going to be alive in 2024 when these have become so prevalent to our lives. There's never before in a time of history that we've had a device that what I would say has become such a distraction to God's people. I'll receive that. And so I just wonder, is Jesus Lord of this thing? I heard, I think it was John Mark Comer, he said, you need to treat your phone like you're a parent. You gotta put it to bed early in the evening. You gotta just wait, let it stay put to bed in its room, you know, before you have your morning quiet time. Don't get it out, don't get right into it. Maybe you need to give it a rest in the afternoon, but you gotta stay in control of this thing. Because what I've noticed is that anyone can get on this thing right now and start talking about what is truth and what sounds really good. And what can happen for God's people is it's like, man, this guy's saying some things that sound really good. And he has a million followers. He must know what he's talking about. And what it's easy to do is saying, God, thank you for your word, but I'm gonna close this right now and I wanna listen to whatever this person is saying. And so we need to make sure this thing is in the right place. And we're not elevating whatever we're seeing through this. And again, I know there's some good things on here. But we're not elevating this above God's word. And it's not stealing our time. And it's not stealing our, because when I think about Jesus, are you Lord of my schedule and my time? I'm convicted when I know how much time I've spent on this. It's not productive. And then it makes me wonder, have I really decided Jesus is Lord of everything? So before we get into spiritual gifts, it's important to understand we have to be submitted to the Spirit of God. And then these gifts, Paul said, their spiritual gift is given to each of us so that we can help each other. And that word helps just sounds so basic and so generic. When we think about the Holy Spirit is called the helper. And when the Spirit of God comes inside, it's like, okay, the Spirit, this power of the Spirit, Holy Spirit who lives inside actually can help or can have you be in a place where you can help somebody know who Jesus is. That's just amazing to me, and it's the grace of God. Amen. So then Paul, he lists all these gifts out, and this is not an exhaustive list. These are not the only ones because there are other places in the New Testament. Go over to Romans chapter 12. Paul kind of lists a few more gifts to give us an understanding. Romans 12, 6, he says, in his grace, that means we didn't do anything to earn this or to deserve it. God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. Now, if you just pull that scripture out, it's like, man, God has given me a gift to run a marathon. Or God has given me the gift to be really successful in business. Or God has given me a gift for helping my life to improve. And that we have to bring that into the full context of what Paul teaches. He's not just giving something to you so you can improve your life. In his grace, God has given you different gifts. He's given you a gift for doing certain things well that points us back to the role of the Holy Spirit, which is to reveal Jesus. And so he says, if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. He didn't say, make sure you have really good communication skills. He said, speak out with faith, this belief in Jesus, this trusting in God's wisdom. If you're gonna speak on behalf of God, we should do that with fear and trembling. If you've ever said the phrase, you know, God told me to tell you this, man, I would just, you better have, be sure that you are speaking God's word. Because I've just seen that mess people up. I think that was the first time I ever did that with my lips in a message. But be sure that you are speaking God's word and not your own. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you are a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it is giving, give generously. You know, God has given some people this spiritual gift of just giving. Financial giving, giving of their time, giving of just their experience, or just looking for opportunities to give. And I'm so inspired by people like that. And if that's you, that is a spiritual gift to use in order to help people know Jesus. Because God so loved, he gave. You're representing Jesus by functioning and operating in your spiritual gift. It's not about you. It's not about your gift. It's about God has given me this grace to actually reveal Jesus to other people. And invites us into this. This is just amazing. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. Or showing mercy is another way to say that. Do it gladly. You know why? Because when you're someone who is mercy-oriented or mercy-motivated, if it's not spirit-guided, it's so easy to feel taken advantage of. But let me tell you, if you have a gift of mercy or kindness, as this is saying, and you're functioning in that spiritual gift, you're actually representing a trait of Jesus, who was full of compassion. I mean, scripture says God was abounding in steadfast love, full of mercy. And if somebody experiences God's mercy through you, that may be what God uses to reveal Jesus to them. He invites you into that. So there's one spirit, many gifts. Now let's keep reading back in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Let's pick it up at verse 12. The human body has many parts, but the many parts make up one body. So it is with the body of Christ. Now, worship center is one part of the body of Christ. So this is not just speaking to this church, but Paul is speaking to the church. Many different parts make up one body of Christ. And he uses this great analogy to help us understand it. Verse 13, some of us are Jews, some are Gentiles, some are slaves, and some are free. But we have all been baptized into one body by one Spirit, and we all share the same Spirit. Yes, the body has many different parts, not just one part. If the foot says, I am not a part of the body because I am not a hand, that does not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear says, I am not part of the body because I am not an eye, would that make it any less a part of the body? If the whole body were an eye, how would you hear? Or if your whole body were an ear, how would you smell anything? But our bodies have many parts, and God has put each part just where he wants it. Man, do we trust that God knows what he's doing? Whenever I start comparing my life with somebody else, and maybe even the root of jealousy gets in there, or some kind of selfish ambition, I'm actually not trusting that God knows what he's doing. God has put each part just where he wants it. How strange a body would be if it had only one part. Yes, there are many parts, but only one body. The eye can never say to the hand, I don't need you. The head can't say to the feet, I don't need you. Why does Paul call this out? You know what I see in this phrase? When somebody would say, I don't need you. I'm good. I'm self-sufficient. I don't need you. You know why that's such a big deal? Because it's just arrogant. And pride will lead to a fall every time. And so God has created us. I don't know. I would not have come up with this idea. Because in my mind, it's like, it's good to be self-sufficient. I don't want to be dependent on somebody else. I'm responsible. I'm good. Yet God is saying, no, there's this aspect of we're in a body. And if you are disconnected from the body, you're actually going to be missing out from how someone else can impact your life. And it's very easy to read this and think, yeah, that's right. Tell them they need my gift. But that's not what Paul is writing. So there's this humility that is required in the body of Christ, not just humble before God, but humble before one another. Verse 22, in fact, some parts of the body that seem weakest and least important are actually the most necessary. And the parts we regard as less honorable are those we clothe with the greatest care. So we carefully protect those parts that should not be seen, while the more honorable parts do not require this special care. So God has put the body together such that extra honor and care are given to those parts that have less dignity. See, we talk about strongholds of human reasoning. Our human reasoning is, okay, the guy that has the microphone on the platform, that's who we need to honor. But in the body of Christ, Paul says, God has put the body together such that extra honor and care given to those parts that have less dignity or are less seen. You see how God's word tears down strongholds of human reasoning? So think, we wouldn't think of this. But when that happens, verse 25, this makes for harmony among the members so that all the members care for each other. That's why. It's a way we're going to be in harmony and care for one another. If one part suffers, all the parts suffer with it. And if one part is honored, all the parts are glad. All of you together are Christ's body, and each of you is a part of it. Here are some of the parts God has appointed for the church. First are apostles, second are prophets, third are teachers, then those who do miracles, those who have the gift of healing, those who can help others, those who have the gift of leadership, those who speak in unknown languages. And again, that's not an exhaustive list. That's not just all of them. So if you're trying to find your gift in that list, I would just say, you know, just hold on. Let's look at what Paul says. Verse 29, are we all apostles? Are we all prophets? Are we all teachers? Do we all have the power to do miracles? Do we all have the gift of healing? Do we all have the ability to speak in unknown languages? Do we all have the ability to interpret unknown languages? And what did he say? Of course not. And then Paul makes this powerful statement. And here's where I want us to land today. You hear about these spiritual gifts? One spirit, many gifts. One body, many parts. I'm thinking, okay, how do we approach it? I want us to reflect on, really throughout this coming week, reflect on verse 31. Paul says, so, kind of like because of all of that I just wrote, you should earnestly desire the most helpful gifts. Eagerly pursue what is most helpful for Jesus to be revealed. Earnestly pursue the most helpful gifts. for a lot of my life, I thought that God had given me the gift of leadership, the spiritual gift of leadership. You know what I did? I saw it and there was opportunities for me to walk in it. But then I started reading all of these books about leadership, right? I mean, leadership is a billion-dollar industry. You can read so much about it. And I'm not saying there's not principles that are in leadership that just apply, but really they're biblical principles of the ones that are gonna last. But you know the spiritual gift of leadership, if you wanna grow in the spiritual gift of leadership, don't just go read all the books about leadership. Find out, how did Jesus teach about leadership? He said, if you wanna be great, be the servant of all. And so what I wish I would have done early on in my leadership journey, I wish I would have said, okay, the Spirit of God, I wanna function in this and operate in this spiritual gift of leadership. So I wanna learn what does it mean to be the servant of all? Because if I'm functioning, not just as a pastor, but I'm saying just in any kind of leadership responsibilities, if I can function as the servant of all, I could actually be part of revealing Jesus to someone else. And so now I'm at the place, it's like, I don't know what my spiritual gifts are. I don't wanna try to figure it out with my human reasoning. I want to earnestly pursue the most helpful gifts. And so here's my new prayer. My new prayer is, Holy Spirit, whatever the most helpful gifts are, reveal it to me. I wanna operate in that. In 2024, with all the craziness that's around us, I want to operate in the most helpful gifts of the Spirit. Amen. I've been praying that. I've been praying that for you too. And so now what I'm seeing personally for my life, I'll just give you a little window. The spiritual gift that I see is most helpful for me and my role right here is this spirit, the gift of discerning between the Spirit of God and the spirit of this world. Amen. Because like I said, anybody can get on here and say this is truth. And so I'm not gonna use my human reasoning to try to combat that and say, no, it's not true. And here are all my arguments against it. Anytime I see something, I'm just gonna say, okay, let's discern. Is this of the Spirit of God? How do we know that? Well, we go to God's word for it instead of what's inside. I'm gonna discover some truth inside rather than this book, this word of God that's living and active and will pierce our hearts. And actually expose our innermost thoughts and desires. And that's what I want, but it's kind of scary when you invite God's word to reveal. So I would say to you, if there's things that I'm saying, you're like, I don't know if I agree with that. Go to God's word, read it. I am so committed to not give you my opinions about stuff. I'm so committed to just saying, I want you to build your life on this. All right. So let's take a moment just to pause. There may be people here today, you've never made a decision to follow Jesus. And so we're talking about these gifts of the Spirit and all of that is piercing your heart. But the very first decision that you need to settle is Jesus, your Lord, not just your Savior, see, your Lord. And maybe you prayed a prayer like I did when you were six, asking Jesus to come in your heart and give you this promise of eternal life. And all of that's true, and we believe it. Jesus as Savior is one thing. Jesus as Lord of your life, it will transform you. And you will not learn how to have Jesus be the Lord of your life from the world around us. I think that's why Paul said, don't pattern your life after the world around us. But don't be conformed to it, but be transformed from the inside out by God's word and his spirit. And so it starts with this decision of saying, God, I repent of my sins. I repent and turn from my selfish ways. That's what repentance is. I mean, there may be some godly sorrow, but don't just sit in godly sorrow. Repent means to turn and to change. And that's what this prayer is. It's a prayer of decision to follow Jesus as Lord. And so I want to pray, and I want to lead you in a prayer if you're ready to make that decision. I want you to count the cost of it. But if you're ready to do that, I'm going to invite you to repeat this prayer out loud, and I'm going to invite everyone to pray it just so nobody's praying alone. Would you say, Heavenly Father, I thank you for Jesus. I believe he is the Son of God. I believe he came to this earth. He died on a cross, was buried in a tomb, and rose from the dead for me. I repent of my sins, turn from my selfish ways, and I choose Jesus to be my Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name. Amen. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, or if this is just a moment you're like, I needed to get that right, we want to give you a Bible because it's so important. We talk about God's word. If you don't have one, we want you to have one. And the ushers have one. So if you made that decision today, would you have the courage just to raise your hand and receive one of these Bibles from our ushers? And in that Bible, there's a card with just filling out a little bit of information, and we invite you to stop by our connections room after the service. A team of people in there that would love to talk with you and pray with you if you'd like, because we want to walk with you through this journey. And so I think I saw a couple Bibles go out. Can we thank God for these people who are making decisions? So after you make this decision to follow Jesus, your next step is to be water baptized. Water baptism is this way to identify with Jesus when he died and was buried in the tomb and he rose from the dead. Baptism represents that. Just this physical step that you take where you're like down in the water and it's like you're identifying with Jesus' death and your old life is gone. You come out of the water, this new life, this new understanding, new creation in Christ. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. It's such an important step for you to take. It's for you. It's not for me. It's not for the church. It's for you. This line in the sand. So if you want to be baptized, we have a class because we want to make sure you have a good, clear understanding of what it is. And you can sign up online, worshipcenter.org/baptism. We'd love to serve you in that way. All right, well, so good being together today. If you need prayer, we're gonna have a prayer team down front. Would you stand, please? I just wanna pray for you before you go. Let's pray. God, thank you for your word. Thank you that it is living and active, and I'm sure there were some words that were spoken that convicted. I mean, good grief, I'm convicted by the things that I've said. So I pray that we would not ignore the conviction of the Holy Spirit, but we would lean into it and allow you to continue to transform us to be more like you so that we can reveal you to the people around us. That's our desire. And I believe you're purifying your church in a way that just I have not seen before. And we just say, have your way. In Jesus' name I pray. And if you're in agreement with that, would you say amen? Amen. Amen. Hey, have a great rest of your day. We'll see you here next week.